Welcome to day 93 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let us return to the Hebrew Bible, reading 2 Samuel 4-6. Ishbaal assassinated. When Saul's son Ishbaal heard that Abner had died at Hebron, his courage failed and all Israel was dismayed. Saul's son had two captains of raiding bands. The name of the one was Benah, and the name of the other was Rechab. They were sons of Ramon, a Benjaminite from Beroth, for Beroth is considered to belong to Benjamin. Now the people of Beroth had fled to Gittaim and are there as resident aliens to this day. Saul's son Jonathan had a son who was crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old, and when the news of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, his nurse picked him up and fled, and in her haste to flee, it happened that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. Now the sons of Ramon and the Berethite, Rechab the Benah, set out, and about the heat of the day, they came to the house of Ishbaal while he was taking his noonday rest. They came inside the house as though to take wheat, and they struck him in the stomach. Then Rechab and his brother Benah escaped. Now they came into the house while he was lying on his couch in his bedchamber. They attacked him, killed him, and beheaded him. Then they took his head and traveled by way of Arabah all night long. They brought the head of Ishbaal to David at Hebron and said to the king, "Here is the head of Ishbaal, son of Saul, your enemy who sought your life. The Lord has avenged my lord, the king, this day on Saul and on his offspring." David answered Rechab and his brother Benah, the sons of Ramon the Berethite, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life out of every adversity, when the one who told me, 'See, Saul is dead,' though he was bringing good news, I seized him and killed him at Ziklag. This was the reward I gave him for his news. How much more then when wicked men have killed a righteous man on his bed in his own house? And now shall I not require his blood at your hand and destroy you from the earth?" So David commanded the young men, and they killed them. They cut off their hands and feet and hung their bodies beside the pool at Hebron. But the head of Ishbaal they took and buried in the tomb of Abner at Hebron. David anointed king of all Israel. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Look, we are your bone and flesh. For some time while Saul was king over us, it was you who led out Israel and brought it in. The Lord said to you, 'It is you who shall be shepherd of my people Israel, you who shall be ruler over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and at Jerusalem he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. Jerusalem made capital of the United Kingdom. The king and his men marched to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who said to David, 'You will not come in here. Even the blind and the lame will turn you back,' thinking David cannot come in here. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, which is now the city of David. David had said on that day, 'Whoever would strike down the Jebusites, let them get up the water shaft to attack the lame and the blind, those whom David hates.' Therefore it is said, 'The blind and the lame shall not come into the house.' David occupied the stronghold and named it the City of David. David built the city all around from the Milioph inward, and David became greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. King Hiram of Tyre sent messengers to David along with cedar trees and carpenters and masons who built David a house. David then perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. In Jerusalem, after he came from Hebron, David took more concubines and wives, and more sons and daughters were born to David. These are the names of those who were born to him in Jerusalem: Shammua, Shabab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elusha, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. Philistine seen attacked, repulsed. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up in search of David, but David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" The Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand." So David came to Baal Perazim and defeated, and David defeated them there. He said, "The Lord has burst forth against my enemies before me like a bursting flood." Therefore, that place is called Baal Perazim. The Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them away. Once again, the Philistines came up and were spread out in the valley of Rephaim. When David inquired of the Lord, he said, "You shall not go up. Go around to their rear and come up with them opposite the balsam trees. When you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then be on the alert, for then the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the armies of the Philistines." David did just as the Lord had commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines from Geba all the way to Gezer. David brings the ark to Jerusalem. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baal Judah to bring up from the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahuah, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen lurched. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him there, and he died there beside the ark of God. David was angry because the Lord had burst forth with an outburst upon Uzzah. So that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day. He said, "How can the ark of the Lord come into my care?" So David was unwilling to take the ark of the Lord into his care in the city of David. Instead, David took it to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. It was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark from the of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatted calf. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with a sound of trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal's daughter of Saul looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. David returned to bless his household, but Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants' maids, as any vulgar fellow might shamelessly uncover himself." David said to Michal, It was before the Lord who chose me in place of your father and all his household to anoint me as prince over Israel. The people of the Lord, I will dance before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be humbled in my own eyes. But by the maids of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? I continue to struggle with God's anointing of kings and the continual violence and wars. Ultimately, are we seeing the destruction that comes from seeking a king other than God? We see how David's violence spreads to those seeking his favor. Rechab and Baanah bring David, the head of Ishbaal, Saul's son. David responded with more violence, killing Rechab and Baanah, as he had killed Ziklag for the death of Saul. I'm reminded of the words of Martin Luther King Jr. in his speech, "Where Do We Go From Here?" I'm concerned about justice. I'm concerned about brotherhood. I'm concerned about truth. And when one is concerned about these, he can never advocate violence. For through violence, you may murder a murderer, but you can't murder murder. Through violence, you may murder a hater, but you can't murder hate. Darkness cannot put out darkness, only light can. Now let's move to Revelation 21 to 22, the new heaven and the new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Vision of the New Jerusalem. Then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls full of seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And in the spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It has the glory of God and a radiance like a very rare jewel, like Casper, clear as crystal. It has a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates are inscribed the names that are the names of the 12 tribes of the Israelites. On the east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. And the wall of the city has 12 foundations, and on them are 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who was talking to me had a measured rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city had four equal sides, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall 144 cubits by human measurement, which the angel was using. The wall is built of jasper, while the city is pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city are adorned with every jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each of gates is a single pearl, and the streets of the city is pure gold, transparent as glass. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no sun or moon to shine on it. For the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. The gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring it into the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. The River of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the city, of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true, for the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. See, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Epilogue and benediction. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers and sisters of the prophets and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." And he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehoods. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The spirit of the bride say, "Come," and let everyone who hears say, "Come," and let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift. I warn everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away from the person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. The one who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? We have read about the new heaven and the new earth. I wonder if this, the kingdom of God come to earth, has not already happened if we are willing to see it. Jesus taught us to pray, "May your kingdom come and may your will be done." Did not Jesus already bring the kingdom of God to earth? And is it not up to us to actualize what has already been done through our actions and willingness to trust in God? Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father, who lives in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come and may your will be done as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those indebted to us.